Also breaking in the news just this morning is the fallout from the Bear Stearns collapse that happened earlier this year. Two former managers from the bank have surrendered to authorities and are now facing criminal charges after a year-long federal securities fraud investigation. The Wall Street Journal's reporter Kate Kelly joins us. She was first to break the story of the Bear Stearns hedge fund collapse last summer and has been all over this story this week. Good morning, Kate. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
What's the latest on this?
Well, the two former fund managers of these Bear Stearns hedge funds that lost investors $1.6 billion last year were arrested this morning by authorities, and they're expected to be arraigned today in a Brooklyn federal court. We expect on charges of securities fraud as well as mail and wire fraud.
What exactly are they being accused of doing?
I think the focus of the case that prosecutors want to make is dealing with disparities between sort of their private conversations about the state of the market and the funds and what they said publicly to investors. One thing which is in my article today is that there was an email sent by one of the fund managers late in April of 2007, in which he said to the other fund manager, I'm worried about the state of the CDO market. CDOs were these complex kind of mortgage-connected bonds that they invested in. I think we should consider shutting down the two funds. And this came just about 4 days before there was a conference call in which he and his business partner sort of reassured investors and said, look, we're relatively optimistic. We think that we're going to be okay. So it's things like that that I think prosecutors are going to try to exploit to say, look, these guys intentionally misled the public.
But to broadly people who follow the market, I mean, there's a chain of events here that I wonder if you could help to illuminate. I mean, these funds collapsed. Then Bear Stearns started to have problems. Then Bear Stearns started to collapse itself. Then there were these negotiations for J.P. Morgan Chase to take over Bear Stearns. Then the feds stepped in. Is it possible that all that was set in motion by a fraud case or the collapse of these funds that is now under criminal investigation?
Well, yes and no. I think that the collapse of these two hedge funds, which happened in a very public fashion last summer, was really the first shoe to drop for Bear Stearns Companies, the parent company. Not so much that it cut to Bear's core business at the time, but just that it raised questions in the public and among investors and lenders to the bank. Is this bank well run? Do they have good risk management procedures in place? And the answer felt to a lot of people like it was no. The company did okay for another few quarters. They did experience their first ever loss at the end of last year in their 84-year history at the time.
Wow.
But it wasn't until March that a run on the bank forced it essentially out of business and forced a fire sale to J.P. Morgan. Now, I don't think that was brought on by the fact that federal prosecutors were probing, but I do think there was a profound loss of confidence in Bear the company. And remarkably, what happened to the parent company in March that forced that sale was not dissimilar to what happened on a far smaller scale to these two funds.
Wow.
The funds were invested in the mortgage market, which turned out to be risky, but their more immediate problem was that their own lenders started pulling out money and saying, we don't think you're a going concern, basically.
But there's a really important point in there. Some of the tone of the reporting has suggested that these two men are responsible for taking down Bear Stearns. They're responsible for taking down possibly, or the accusation is, two funds, but not of taking down the entirety of Bear Stearns.
Right, and I think anyone who asserts that is making a way over the top assertion. I think these two guys were in the unfortunate position of being the first hedge fund managers to very publicly go out of business in a situation where they had some investments connected to the mortgage market. In that sense, the decline of their funds was the first domino to fall for Bear. So I think, sort of poetically, we can look at it that way. But I think in reality, their business and even the entire division they were in, Bear Stearns Asset Management, was a very small part of Bear Stearns Companies. It really had little bearing on what was happening at the parent company.
Kate, you know, congratulations on this story and being all over this. I guess
Thank
I'm
you.
Wondering, what is the exposure now? You know, J.P. Morgan Chase came in to take over Bear Stearns. As they were doing their due diligence on the takeover, is there possible exposure that J.P. Morgan has a case against the parent company because maybe they didn't know as much about the sort of criminal dimensions here as they should have?
That's an interesting point. I have not heard any talk about J.P. Morgan trying to sue what really now is sort of a shell of Bear Stearns companies that they now own. I mean, that would almost be like suing themselves, so I can't imagine it. But J.P. Morgan definitely was cognizant of the liabilities associated with their purchase of Bear Stearns, and I think executives there would probably argue that's why the share price they paid for Bear Stearns was so low. It ended up being $10 a share for a company that was worth far more than that in the public markets just days before the sale talks went underway. But at the same time, J.P. Morgan has incurred what it estimates to be $9 billion and climbing in liabilities associated with this purchase. And that is litigation, severance pay to employees who are losing their jobs, and so on. They're also having to foot the legal bills for these two guys that were arrested today as part of a pre-existing contract that Tanin and Chiappi, the fund managers, had with Bear Stearns. If they're found guilty, they will become responsible for those fees. But for now, J.P. Morgan's on the hook.
Kate, let's go back to John's timeline.
Sure.
The initial trigger for the federal investigation into these two men, was it the email? And is there some corroborating evidence to some of the charges that you're aware of at this point under the belt of the U.S. attorneys?
Okay, I'll take that sort of in two parts. I mean, I think the email that I read about today, I think that emerged during the course of the investigation. I don't know that it was the sort of prompt of the investigation. I think the Fed started looking into this last summer simply because these funds were collapsing, as I said, in a fairly public fashion, and they wondered if there was something there. Investors lost $1.6 billion. They were angry. It certainly appeared that risk management had fallen away, so I think they probably perceived that the nuts and bolts of a possibly promising case. As for the emails, I think those were uncovered during the course of investigation. And again, the email I wrote about today that talks about Tanin's doubts about the market for CDOs, which are these complex bond securities, is the sort of thing that could help them make their case. On the other hand, I must say, a lot of people have argued to me, as I've discussed this with lawyers and other hedge fund managers, this is the kind of debate you have when you're a professional
right.
investor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody knows where the market's going to go, and it would be silly to say that they knew
sure.
that
right.
was going to collapse.
Well, the great thing about this is, there could be a deal that we never get to see, but if this does go to trial, this will be an extraordinary window on the opaque world of hedge funds. Quickly, yes or no?
Absolutely. And the other significance I would share with listeners is that, you know, feds try to go with their strongest cases first.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, that seems
mm-hmm.
to be kind of the MO. So everyone should take a look at these indictments and make a judgment. Is this a strong case or a potentially weak one? Because if it seems to be the latter, that could tell us that the feds don't have a lot in their back pocket.
No,
however, if it's strong, it could be ushering in a period of pretty tough criminal charges for Wall Street and potentially mortgage company executives who had a role in investors and borrowers losing their shirts during the credit crunch.
No, that's an excellent point. We'll keep an eye open for
that's
that.
Great
again,
stuff,
thank
Kate.
You so much, Kate Kelly, staff
thank
reporter
you.
For the Wall Street Journal, for joining us and illuminating
wow.
what is going on in the world
that
of hedge funds and criminal
story.
Prosecutions.
Everybody's drooling over possibly peering through that window if it does go to trial. Anyway, keep your responses coming. We're talking about honesty between doctors and their terminally ill patients, honesty in the finance markets. We're also talking about the sound of democracy in the British Parliament.
Yeah! Greg Jones here from South Dartmouth, Massachusetts. Let's remember that Robert's Rules of Order is an American invention from an Annapolis graduate, as I recall. There have been beatings, shootings, physical confrontations, and all that sort of thing in the American Senate. Daniel Webster attacked somebody with a cane, and perhaps the rather boring stateliness of the dialogue and discourse in the Senate and the House is a result of these physical confrontations that have taken place over the years.
So perhaps there's good reasons why it's quote-unquote boring.
We're just
today.
Not mature enough to be able to do it without Robert's Rules of Order.
We'll take a look at some of that again.
Thank you very much. 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's how you reach us on The Takeaway.
Yeah!